Podcasting 2.0 for September 16th, 2022, episode 102. We're down with OP3. Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything that happened this week in Podcasting 2.0. Of course, all that's going on with the namespace, value for value, all the groovy stuff happening at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry, deep in the heart of Georgia and in Alabama. I'm waving at him right now. He feels so close. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
I can see Georgia from my house. Is that the...
Yeah, there you go, Sarah.
The callback?
Yeah, Sarah. That's a good one.
The thing that actually never happened, like so many of these things.
Well, you actually can see Russia from Alaska, just maybe not from her house, and she never said it.
And she never actually said it.
No, it was... what's her face? The actress on Saturday Night Live.
It's... what's the thing where... what's that effect where you remember
Mandela
something?
Mandela effect.
Mandela, that's it, Mandela. Yeah,
it's effect. Real, man.
It's real, man.
It's real, man.
It really happened. Berenstain Bears.
So I'm...
go ahead. You're in the enemy territory. So.
Oh, I see. Yes, from Alabama. I got you. Well, It feels like I'm not at all in enemy territory. Although it may sound a little bit boomy, I'm in the kitchen of a cabin. Here I am, literally. Oh, I have not heard banjos yet, so I think we're safe.
Okay. Well, you're in South Georgia, not North Georgia, so you're safe.
Well, this is Bluffton, Georgia, at White Oaks Pastures, which is pretty famous if you're into beef and regenerative farming. Will Harris is the owner. This has been in the family since 1886 or some crazy length of time. And this is the big beef coin.
Beef coin.
I need to write that one down.
Please. Okay. Beef. Wait, let me get my pen. Beef coin.
I got to write it down.
Before the day is out, there will be an altcoin with that name. Somebody will launch a beef coin blockchain.
Oh, man. That's too funny. Yeah. So it's not beef coin. It's the beef initiative. And it's pretty dynamite. You know, maybe 100 people here. But a lot of ranchers and Bitcoiners, some famous Bitcoiners even. So I'm here with Texas Slim. We're shacking up in this cabin, and
he's cozy.
That's a cue banjo, and and he's actually upstairs on the balcony doing a podcast with Robert Breedlove. So it's like this. It's a very odd situation.
Will there be bandwidth concerns with dueling podcasts?
We hope not. So far, so good. I mean, it's actually pretty decent here. And I flew in from San Antonio to Atlanta, drove down for about 3 hours. And it has everything I want.
That's not a fun drive.
You know, that was 185. That was a great drive. I mean,
really?
Yeah, you put on the cruise control. I mean, 65 on the speed limit. Everyone's doing 80. Just blasting down. It's beautiful.
What's the one that goes all the way to Orlando from like Atlanta?
I don't know. That might be 85, but 185, there was nobody.
Okay.
There's just nobody out there. No, I was kind of jonesing for some muscle. speed down that highway. Yeah.
You're doing the tour of the South.
I am.
You're trying to hit every point. You've been Nashville just this year. Nashville, South Georgia.
Wait, did I go to Nashville?
I thought you went to Nashville for a meetup.
No. I got COVID, and then it was at the skating rink, and instead I dialed in and I spun records like bad 70s disco records. Yeah, dynamite. Sorry about that. I'm going to open up the helipad so we can hear when we get some live boosts. We are live, of course. We're lit. Just noticed in Podverse that when you hit the live notification, it pops up and it has the album art that you specify for the lit show. So this is an opportunity. I'm very excited about the next show now. I'm going to put something really cool in there.
Yeah, I thought this has to be new because neither one of us remember this happening before. I don't think I've ever seen the album art show up on the notification unless I'm crazy.
Well, I'm digging it. It's really, really cool. And today we also have the OPPP.
Oh, so
I don't remember what it stands for, but I remember OPPP.
It's the original podcast prefix party.
There you go.
I don't know what it, I have no idea what it is. I don't remember what it is either, but I love it.
So I think we should talk about this real quick because I immediately went, okay, I don't know what it is either. I want in. I'll do it. I think I understand it. And then Stephen B. immediately put the functionality into Sovereign Feed. So all I had to do was check a box and boom, every single enclosure has the OPP juice.
Yeah. Okay. So this, we need to discuss every bit of this. Stephen B. has the fastest fingers on the planet. It was like 2 hours start to finish. Boom, done. Yeah. It's in Sovereign Feed.
And it works. I mean, I love Stephen B. Sometimes, he does that and it doesn't work. So I love him. I love him for that.
As it will.
Yeah, it's not a slam.
It happens to the best of us.
I mean, hey, you run with scissors. Sometimes you get scratched.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you get one in the jugular. It depends.
Oh, Stephen B. just said it's picking up the episode. So I'm actually going to put that into the show notes.
And you OPP'd the live stream too. So
yeah,
fully good.
How cool is this?
We're as OPP'd as you can possibly OPPP. OP3.
I'm not sure if the OP, I don't know if it works on the live. I don't have that yet. I don't know how this thing works. I don't know what to do.
So I'm studying for the show. I always do it on Thursday night. I'm studying for the show. And then John Spurlock posts this thing. It just blows up my entire show prep. Because then I have to just go, a mile deep trying to figure out what this thing is that he just posted. And then when it hit me a couple of minutes into reading it, what it was, I was like, this is big.
Okay.
This is really big. So do you have any idea what?
Well, what I think,
do you have any idea at all what this is?
Yes. What I think this is to be able to, in an open source manner, see exactly how many people are downloading my enclosures and give me all sorts of details like you'd get from a hosting company, except it's raw data. And does that make sense?
Yes, this is essentially like PodTrack or one of those services.
Yeah,
it accomplishes. I'm not going to say the same goal because it can do a lot more stuff and its aim is different. But it can do the same thing in at its base, at its core. Said Spurlock made me lose sleep last night. Me too, buddy.
I'm losing sleep right now trying to understand how I can use this to my advantage. I mean, I like it. I'm not quite sure what it does for me.
Okay, so...
I do know, and I just got really excited. Okay, let's go.
I knew he was building something because he went silent. He went radio silent. And usually if a guy like Alex or Spurlock goes...
They're either dead or they're working on something.
Yeah, or both.
Or both, yeah. Hey-o.
Cloudflare is what he's using for this. And essentially you put this prefix onto your enclosure.
Yeah.
And so the first what it ends up being is https://op3.dev/e/, and then the full URL of your enclosure, mm-hmm. so that it hits the op3.dev server first,
right, and then it registers basically your user agent information,
user agent, and anything and any URL parameters, and anything else that's in the header.
Okay,
so basically, it has full access to everything that's in the HTTP request.
It's not tracking IP addresses or anything like that.
So. That's where it gets fun because it is fun. Track it. So what it does is you hit the op3.dev. I'm going to say server in quotes because it's not even really a server, in a traditional sense. You hit the op3.dev. It registers the download, records all of the information that it wants, and transmogrifies it into whatever, and then it forwards you at three. It does a 302 redirect to the final destination so that you get passed off to the correct enclosure.
Ah, okay. So I'm seeing here time, UUID, hashed IP address. Ah, hashed IP address. Hey, now, cool.
Right. No IP. That's
smart.
No IPs.
But this is unique, of course. So this hashed IP address is a unique IP address.
Yep.
But of course, we don't know if it's a NAT or if it's some other type of hub thing. You never really know what's behind it. But I guess that I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, just
tell me to shut up.
No. The source. No, it's a good point because this is what things like the IAB specifications. One of the things that they try to do is look at source IP addresses and do some filtering when it comes to collecting stats from them so that you can say, okay, this IP address is corporate. So most likely there's like 150 users behind this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to treat this differently from a residential IP address, blah, blah, blah. So there's an aspect of it, but so that still exists and that still has to be dealt with. And he's going to, and I say he, it's open source. So that's the first thing to know. All of this is open source.
Right.
Anybody can contribute and make these changes and help him make these changes. Mm-hmm. So it's purely open source, meaning it is also auditable. It can be audited. And he said he's triggering the deployments to Cloudflare from GitHub so that you know that the thing you're seeing on GitHub is actually what the live code that's running in production.
Cool. So it's really just a Cloudflare hack. So it's not, you said it's not really a server. I mean, we don't need to go too deep into it, but see, this is the thing with Spurlock. He walks around and you think he's a little goofy. And then he does this. It's like, this guy is a genius. I mean, that with love, by the way. You know what I mean? He's like unassuming, very nice, and then this. Holy crap. Yeah. He's got some weed that he needs to share.
Weed. Listen, there are geniuses within podcasting too.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, my goodness. I mean, yeah.
Like legit geniuses.
Real geniuses. This is,
yeah. And somebody like Alex pops out with a pod ping. With a Podping Docker that you can run on Google. Yep. And it's like, what the, so like, this is one of those things. So if you, it's running on Cloudflare workers, which are sort of like Amazon Lambda functions, meaning that you can write some JavaScript.
Yeah. Do a very one function, only one very small instance for it. Uh-huh. Yeah. I got it.
Yeah. It's one function and it spins up. It runs the function and then goes away. They're ephemeral. It's ephemeral code that just runs on Cloudflare's infrastructure.
Cool.
But it runs on the edge, meaning that it runs in the local data centers where it's triggered from.
Yes, I see that as a edge colo parameter that's passed off, and I see a lot of Dallas-Fort Worth, and I see a couple Sydney,
Atlanta. There's like 200 and something global.
Stop listening, Cridland. Go to bed.
There's like 200 and something edge data centers for Cloudflare because they're global. And these things run locally so that you get, by default, you get region coverage. So you can say, I've got this many listeners in the Atlanta region, or now, this means in Fort Worth.
Is there an export to Excel option yet?
Not yet. No.
I love the JSON, but it'd be nice to have an export to Excel.
that is coming down the pipe. He's storing it in, I forgot the name of it. It's not their key value store. Durable objects. That's it. Cloudflare Durable Objects, which is a distributed database across all the colos. So, I mean, this thing is very lightweight
resources standpoint.
Yeah, it's heavy on Cloudflare's system, but they have the bandwidth to do it. and they make it available so that it's not cumbersome for you to run as an administrator. Mm.
Where do you think Edgecolo YYZ is located?
Oh, that's Toronto.
Oh. Huh.
You know why I know that?
No, because you're the pod sage. I don't have to question it.
No, so our guest, I think we have a guest in the lobby. Our guest can back me up today. That is the origin of the song YYZ by Rush.
Oh, do we want to bring our guest in already? I mean, our guest does know how to talk. I mean, he's not going to be a dud.
No, yeah, I would. Can we send... Travis out there to get our guest?
Hold on a second. Let me see if I can ping Travis. Okay.
Do you like how I used a male reference name for the assistant instead of
yes,
a sexist female? Yes.
Hey, open the door, Travis. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, the man who you thought you knew from his podcast, but it turns out he has a Wikipedia page. This guy is unbelievable. And, of course, the host of the Intergalactic Boombox. Please say hello to Kyle Ebert.
Hey, hey, ho, ho. Yeah.
There he is.
How's it going, Kyle?
Hey, it's going great. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing good. We're doing good. And I'm amazed that this is working at all, having all these different streams coming in at the same time.
Oh, yes. Yay for clean feed.
Yeah, do you use clean feed as part of your professional work?
Actually, I don't. Sometimes I've used different things like Zencaster and things for like podcast interview type stuff. But for myself, I'm all 100% post-produced. So it's me and Adobe Audition.
And you're where? In Burbank?
Yeah.
Burbank, California, everybody.
Now, how long have you been out there?
Oh, man, golly.
Because I live there. I live right near Burbank. I live in the hills overlooking Burbank.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Like at the top of the hill is that radio tower. And on the other side is the Hollywood sign.
You've got it all, man. You've got the dream. You live in the dream. How many homeless tents are there?
It keeps growing every year. It's amazing.
Oh, no, goodness, brother. I'm telling you.
I moved out here in 2005 from Dallas. So basically I'm a Texan, even though I'm from Louisiana, Lake Charles, with Hebert is a common name like Smith or Jones. So, right. Hey, sorry, Dave. Yeah, you got a common last name.
I do. Yeah, it does. Yeah. When my wife, we met in Moscow and came home, and she said, Mom, I told her mom, she's like, hey, Mom, I met a guy. And her mom was like, oh my God. And, you know, like she met a Russian. And she was like, no. She was like, no. He's from here. His name is Dave Jones. And she's like, tell me the truth.
His name is Igor.
Such a generic name, you know. But, so I've been told that the way you properly address Hollywood people is to say, Kyle, I love your work.
Look, you have to add a man to the end there. It's got to be more. Love your work, man. Really love it. Do they still say that, yeah. Kyle? They still say it that way?
They do. I make more of a living going to conventions than I do for actually recording VO. But yeah, there's a lot of people that will say, you're the voice of my childhood. Because I started back in 2000 with this little independent anime show, a little tiny, called Dragon Ball Z. And its fandom is stronger than ever because the movie this summer, Dragon Ball Super Superhero, was number one the week it was released. Yep.
Congratulations. I got a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions about your career. If you will indulge, yeah. I know it's a little bit outside the boardroom. We like to know our board members, and see it as, you know, depending on your answers, a possible increase in benefits. Ah. So you
don't get chops up.
So you, right. I mean, and I put a link to your Wikipedia because people got to see this. Your filmography is, and you know, that includes anime, live action series, animation, film, video games. It's unbelievable. And I've tried. Here we go. I have tried for years to break into voiceover work you clearly figured it out, and it has to be for the voices you can do. Because I mean, that's you have so many different. I mean, not even just voices, sounds you can make. Is this something you've been doing all your life?
I have, and ever since I was a kid watching Looney Tunes and my dad telling me about Mel Blanc, it's like, oh, sure. That's a job. I want to do that. So growing up in the 70s, I'm taking a little cassette recorder. I'm doing, you know, silly voices, fake commercials, playing DJ with the turntable, playing Kiss records and all that. So I was always fascinated by theater of the mind stuff where I could entertain without being seen because I was really shy and really introverted and everything. So I turned... you know, the shy kid who just keeps to himself and growing up during the high school years, being all about metal and Iron Maiden, Judas Priest. And all that good stuff. Yeah.
How old are you, Kyle?
I'm 53.
Okay. So we're kind of in the same age. Because I have a similar story from started at home, you know, with a tape recorder. Very interesting. So Dragon Ball Z, that was your breakthrough?
That was the breakthrough in terms of voiceover. I was a DJ first. On Radio Disney, and I was part of ABC Radio Networks. Oh my goodness!
So you got the programming.
I got the programming. I did that. University of North Texas. I got a Bachelor of Arts in Radio TV Film that turned into a internship with ABC Radio Networks, and I was going up and down the hall on various formats from Top 40 to Classic Country to Heavy Metal to Kids Radio.
Oh, dude! Finally, I meet another DJ who made it out.
Yes.
It doesn't happen often. Usually they die with the U-Haul attached to the truck.
Oh, they do. But the great thing about satellite radio is, you know, it was stable. I mean, the local level, we're sending syndicated national feeds. This is years before Sirius XM. And it's aimed at small and mid-sized markets.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you. I mean, I used to send out CDs every week. For my top 30 hit list, you know, and before that, of course, it was records. And there's always some dude who wanted to be a DJ who have to get up at 3 a.m. on Sunday to go into the station and then put my show on. And that was our syndicate. And it worked, you know, it's distributed throughout the whole country.
That's right. And you, you know, on the local level, you'd be like, you got to have your FCC license and you mow the lawn and you're the program director slash, you know, marketing. You could juggle everything. So back in the days when mom and pop operations were a thing before the big
good day,
Westwood
good
ones
times.
And such.
Yeah, good times. When radio was still radio. And with podcasting, we've approached the same kind of need from a different angle somehow. Maybe it's modernized. You know, the radio is so much the car, I think, in general.
Mm-hmm. When you basically kind of reinvented radio for the internet. So when podcasting dropped, it was like, hey, this is radio for everybody with an internet connection around the world, instant distribution for free, you know, none
and,
of this.
And
oh,
no money.
Get an FCC license.
And no money.
And no money.
It's just like real radio.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Monetizing. What's that? Paychecks?
One more question about this. How do royalties work with video games?
There are no royalties. We call them, you know, residuals. There are no residuals with anime or video
residuals,
games.
I'm sorry. Yeah, residuals.
Yeah. Oh, no. No worries.
So it's buyout and shut up and that's it?
That's basically, it's like, here's this really obscenely low fee. No, actually, anime is the obscenely low fee. You can get as low as, you know, $50 an hour and you're done recording in a couple of hours unless you have a recurring role. And even then, you can't really pay rent on that. So the people that are making a living with anime usually are going around the country or the world sometimes at these conventions, you know, selling autographs and photo ops, and they're able to monetize that way. So I call conventions the residuals for anime and video games.
And so now, are you allowed to use the brand name in your appearances?
Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, one of those tricky things.
Fan art. Yeah, right. It's a gray area.
I bet there's dynamite groupies at those conventions.
I'm happily married, but
I'm just saying. I'm very happily married. We can still talk about dynamite groupies. Come on, Kyle.
They're all there, but the thing is,
the real groupies are the guys for the female characters. Those are the groupies.
That's true. That's true. And back in the day, you know, conventions, comic cons, comic conventions, anime conventions was almost all dudes.
Yeah.
And then in the 90s and 2000s, it started becoming appealing to younger ladies. Yeah. And I like to say that was just because these dudes that scored hot chicks ended up just dragging them, kicking and screaming to the con.
Hey, babe, what you doing this weekend?
I got a fun idea.
Yeah. Here, dress up as this. Like, who's this? And like, trust me, you'll get attention for it. And then suddenly they liked it. And, you know, but way before selfies and social media, it's like, oh, you walk 2 feet, people want to take your picture. Walk another 2 feet, people take your picture. You don't get anything done, but yeah.
So you do Intergalactic Boombox. You showed up pretty early and really with a great podcast for the mission. First of all, you're super talented. It's 10 minutes, so you just want to listen to it every single time. And you were using all the 2.0 features. How did you, I'm sure this was obviously not your first podcasting foray.
That's true to say. Right. Topo Chico. Yeah. Heard that on No Agenda the other day. That was funny.
Yeah.
God, I forgot the question already.
Yeah, is this your first podcast? The question is this your first podcast? And the comment is surely not.
No. Back in 2005 or 6, I got so excited because I was listening to Adam on Daily Source Code and learning about podcasting and everything. So me and my buddy started the Big Ball Broadcast, which was Geek News Central. We just go back and forth talking about geek news because geek podcasts are, you know, a dime a dozen. And so it wasn't really successful, but you know, we learned quickly that you don't get into podcasting to make money. You do it because it's fun. And, you know, if you can build an audience, that's icing on the cake. So I did that for a few years, and then, you know, just like anything else, you get a little tired of it. You step away and then step back in. But God, as soon as you guys started podcasting 2.0, the podcast, I was glued. I was listening. It's like, this tech, I don't understand it at all, but I really want to be a part of this. So I would listen and do research about Bitcoin and the Lightning Network. And it started to click like almost a year later, but it's like, this is a reason, this is going to light the fire to make me want to come back to podcasting. I want to be able to do something. I'm a voiceover actor. That's what I do. Video games, anime, and we do live action dubs and feature films and all that. We come in and we're anonymous, basically. You know, we're not the celebs. We just come in and maybe you might see a quick, you know, additional voices credit if you're lucky.
Yeah, you have to pause it these days. What bastards, man. I love watching credits because I know some people in the business. And,
yeah.
And also, I mean, if you watch it on TV, they throw it in the corner or they roll it at 20 speed. It's really rude.
Yeah, and the screen minimizes, and it's like it's getting ready to go to the next episode. It's like, wait, I want to see. I know people.
Yeah, you don't count. Yeah, no one counts.
I took my daughter to my 12-year-old. We went to see Dragon Ball Super the other day. Great, you did awesome, Kyle.
And, thank you.
Yeah, we loved it, and so we were looking. We waited, watching the credits, and it was all the Japanese names. Oh, you know, for the entire credits. And then it's like it ended. And then there was one still shot of all the American voice actors.
Yeah.
That's all. It's like, oh, wow. I mean, like you just get one shot right at the end. Okay.
It was actually inserted in other countries. They don't even bother.
Yeah. It's like they threw up a JPEG of just the American people, you know?
Dude,
is that standard? Yes.
Yeah, sadly, like Dubcast for taking American shows and dubbing them into French or Spanish or whatever, those guys get credits, but for some reason, the American cast just kind of tossed to the side there, an afterthought. Now, I get it with Dragon Ball Z and anime stuff because that's primarily produced in Japan, and we're just doing an English version for people who speak English and don't want to read subtitles. So I understand, but yeah, it would have been nice to be like one singular credit role with everybody, you know, because there's so many thousands of people that work on these projects, and at least Marvel got it right. They'll get people to sit through credits to watch, you know, post scenes.
Yes,
and all that.
Yeah, I agree. That is a good development.
Like, don't leave. You're going to miss something.
So now, but you were building your own feed, I guess, because you were so early. There were no podcast hosts that could do a feed with all the features.
Yeah, I trusted my friend to kind of look up how to do an RSS thing, and we hooked in through iTunes, of course, and I don't think there were very many other outlets back in the day. And we used archive.org to host the files, and, you know, it never became an issue because hardly anyone listened, but
How about for intergalactic boombox?
I have since learned some things.
Okay,
so, yeah,
here we go.
I heard about you guys talking about different hosting services, and I ended up being with Buzzsprout. I really like what they're doing. I listen to Buzzcast and all that, and I like that they've integrated the images and chapters feature, which makes it very easy for me to upload that stuff. I just type in the info. There's probably easier ways to do that, but I'm not a programming guy, so I don't know how to do all the fancy stuff and helipad and all that, and hosting your own node. That's above my pay grade. So I hooked into the Telegram with
Satoshi Stream.
Satoshi Stream first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then got in with Oscar and them with Fountain. It's like, we can host your feed. Like, oh, okay. And
they started poaching. Dropping all those amazing things. Oh, they're poaching. I see what's going on here. All right. Excellent.
Yeah, they're the Acast of lightning service providers.
Whoa, low.
Dude, but you got to admit, Fountain's doing some great things.
No, of course. No, I love all of our apps. You know, I love helping people onboard through Fountain, but I also love, today someone said, "Hey man, I really love Fountain, but I can't. I'm visually impaired. I can't see shit." And I love being able to say, "Oh, check out Podverse. Mitch has actually done a lot of accessibility stuff." I mean, I love all these options. That's what makes it so cool.
Yeah, and I plug newpodcastapps.com like a crazy person.
I know you do. I know you do. Now, have you ever monetized before with your podcast? I love the word. Have you ever monetized, Kyle?
Have I monetized, everybody?
No. That was back in the day when it's like, here's her PayPal email, and it's like crickets for years. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
But I admitted myself, I was a fan of all these podcasts and I didn't donate to anyone. So it's like, how do you do this? How do you try to? And then came the concept, which you guys, of course, invented with Value for Value. And that concept kind of started sweeping and hearing about it more, elaborated on with your various guests of all these wonderful apps, great for different reasons, about Value for Value and how you're trying to get your audience on board with this great concept of, hey, if you like the content, what do you think it's worth? Yep. And yeah, Apple and Spotify and them, they're not paying attention to that. And it's like, okay, but look at these developers. They're doing perfectly functional apps that do things that the big guys aren't doing. So
exactly.
It's like pulling teeth, though, getting people to try new apps, much less try new podcasts. But
oh, yeah. No, it takes forever. In fact, with Curry and the Keeper, I mean, we're at this is a group of people who listen to that show. They don't use an app. They just give me a link and do I just click it and then it just plays. And so I've been arduously been onboarding them. And, you know, it happens often that Tina will get a text at 10 at night, like, okay, how come I can't send Satoshis from the Strike wallet into the Podverse? You know, it's hard. But that was the same 20 years ago with podcasting 1.0. And we had to literally walk people through how to subscribe to, how to find the feed, which it involved a website.
Yeah. And now is the uphill battle of trying to convince people. You don't have to convince them that Value for Value is a difficult thing to understand, but trying to understand Bitcoin, that took me years too.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the fandom that I speak to on social media platforms, they're all very anti-Bitcoin. It's like, oh, it's a scam. It's a ripoff. This, like, oh yeah, they're not into it at all overall.
They're into NFTs?
No, they're very anti-NFTs as well.
Really?
That's funny. I would have thought that the anime crowd, I would have thought that those...
It's made for NFTs.
I don't know. Yeah. That seems like a natural fit for some reason.
Yeah, some of my colleagues have tried to do in that, and they got so much hate that they instantly pulled out of NFT projects.
I think it may be? I think that it's probably the nature of people who are really into anime and this type of stuff, this genre. And I think for them, Bitcoin has just been branded as toxic bros. You know, they mix it up with crypto.
Techies.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. That's the feel. Does that ring ring true at all?
Yeah, like there's a vision of 20-something, 30-something hipsters that yeah. look like they just walked out of high school, but yes. yet they're millionaires.
And they don't wear socks. Yeah. I hate that yeah. look. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I have to read this boostagram from Booberry, 33,333 sats. We're actually en route to a convention, Crypticon right now. Saw Dragon Ball Superhero. Was it Superhero?
Yeah, Dragon Ball yeah. Superhero.
Superhero in theater. And wow, this movie had one of the all-time greatest scenes in the series as a whole. When Gohan, that's your character, Gohan?
Yeah.
Was informed yeah. his daughter had been kidnapped. Holy bejeebus, I was clapping!
Yeah, Gohan has been a character that's kind of been in the background teaching and being a good husband and a good father and all that. But the crux of the Dragon Ball is who's the strongest character? Who's the strongest fighter? And Gohan's always had this potential. He was strong as a kid. He defeated one of the big bad guys, Cell, back in the day. And fans have been waiting for Gohan to be great again. So for years, I've been saying, make Gohan great again. Because he's not the main character. He's the son, the grown son now, of Goku, the main character. But Goku and this other character, Vegeta, are kind of like the big stars of the show.
Gohan, yes. You must explain it all to me.
That just sounded like Shenron, the dragon that grants a wishes, grants wishes when you gather seven Dragon Balls together.
I can the have a career in anime.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you can do that. Yeah, there's all sorts of tricks. We remain anonymous and people are like, you're doing this voice and you're this voice and this voice and this voice. But we always try to tell people it's not about doing voices. It's about being a good actor. If you're a good actor and you're not a douchebag and you show up to your sessions and you're good and you're professional and you're directable and all that fun stuff, you know, put good karma out, good karma comes back your way. And no, all those cliches it's are true for a reason.
It's hard to break into. It is. Just looking at your credits, man, it's amazing. What a career. It's really Thank phenomenal. You. Oh, I'm very, very impressed.
Thank so you. And it does take 10 plus years to be an overnight success.
Yeah, really of course it does. Hello. Of course it does. Yeah,
well, I mean, it sounds like you took your early days of podcasting, of geek news and all that kind of stuff, and 2.0 and the resurgence, the comeback, and you just kind of merged them into a thing that it was just for fun. It doesn't sound like you're trying to make this. It sounds like what you have now, or what you've built. I mean, we're 65 episodes, 66.
Yeah. We're now at 70 just posted today.
70. Okay. So after 70 episodes, like what you've ended up with is a really great, marketing mechanism and channel for you, for your fans specifically to hear more of you on a weekly basis where it doesn't seem like to be a monetization thing really for you. It just seems like to be more of a connection mechanism and fun.
Yes. Yes. Because the fans that go to conventions, they're starving to get to meet the heroes of the industry that work on their shows, not just voice actors, but artists, directors, producers, music people, all that sort of thing. They just want to feel closer to the people that are blessed enough to get to work in this industry. So yeah, the podcasting thing is a great platform because I was very fortunate to kind of build a following on the convention side and the fandom side and try to lure them over to something else, because other voice actors have had success as musicians. It's like, hey, if you watch me on this show, I do alternative rock. And then suddenly their band is doing well because they got a bunch of fans. Kyle, and then they, yeah.
If I may.
Yes.
Intergalactic Boombox seems like a perfect place for Gohan to educate people in value for value and podcasting 2.0.
Particularly, it really does.
Particularly value for value. I think when someone says, oh, people don't like Bitcoin, I'm like, those are the people, if you can convince them, if you can show them the light.
I would love to make my characters that I don't own a mouthpiece for such great things.
Well, I meant in general, just more. I think that you can really do a lot of onboarding because you could make it really fun.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm taking the concept of a podcasting spaceship. Intergalactic right. Boombox is a name that I'd used back in my radio days. I used to pretend that I was on a spaceship blasting heavy metal, and I called it the Intergalactic Boombox, and I would talk to my own characters. I had an alien. Back in the day, we used reel-to-reel tape. You remember this, Adam,
sure
right?
Sure do.
It's splicing with a, physically splicing with a razor blade and a grease pencil, marking the exact points to get those. Like, I want to hear some Metallica, Slayer, you know, all that stuff. And then I'm interacting with myself. I'm scripting parts for my little alien character to come on board, and I put the pitch up. So it sounds more like, how you pitching? And then a drunk engineer character that's low-pitched and drunk. But now all that stuff's here with filters and stuff on all these different interfaces. That, and, you know, you got Rodecaster Pro and can sound demonic on demand or like a chipmunk.
You do a lot of post on the show on Intergalactic.
It's 100% post. Oh, yeah, yeah. I scripted first. And then I recorded
a lot of work.
Yeah. It takes about between 4 and 6 hours.
I bet it does.
To crank out 10 minutes. And then I'm going through YouTube and converting, hopefully royalty-free sound effects.
Mm-hmm. We all do it, brother. We all do it. I love when you're trying to record something off of YouTube and all of a sudden, like, it's like,
sound effects from
that just keeps coming in every single time.
Yeah. Shit,
you try to clip around it. Yeah. We've all done it.
Yeah. Yeah. But keeping that the love I've had since childhood for theater of the mind, loving old school radio shows from the day, The Shadow and War of the Worlds and all that stuff. And now that audiobooks and podcasting have really caught off as a genre of itself, true crime and audio dramas too, with the Apollo app and all that. This is like a new golden age for radio, for audio of the mind and everything.
Do you think that has anyone really successfully done a real proper radio drama? I mean, so a lot of the true crime stuff comes very close, but without narration, you know, really just where it's truly like a soap opera that is not narrated. It opens, you understand the characters, there's dialogue, and it closes, and then you wait for the next episode. I don't think anyone's done it.
Kyle, you and Metis did Christmas Carol last year.
Right. That's right. Yes. Yeah, that was good. That's what I mean. Thank you. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, audio dramas or radio dramas from back in the day, because radio is, you know, it is what it is now. It's certainly not going to host storytelling, but you have, like I mentioned before, the Apollo Pods thing is like this hub for audio drama podcast. And of course, they're all hosted on all the other platforms too, but just go to Central Place, you're hearing things that tell a story. I think a great example of audio theater is Neil Gaiman's The Sandman. This is a year or two before the Netflix live action adaptation. It's audio, and of course the script is adopted to, you know, paint the picture where characters have to kind of not clunkily describe, like, well, let me get this paper and now I'm going to write a letter, you know. It's not spoon feeding you everything, but with sound effects and a great score and of course a great cast who can act. It's not just about doing voices. You're making an audio movie, and it doesn't always work, but when you get the right team together, things like The Sandman or all these other audiobooks that get turned into it. Star Wars was an audio drama on NPR in the early 80s, and it was fantastic.
Is there a difference between the audio? I know there is, but I'm asking really for the technical side of things, because, you know, we have the medium tag where you can tag a podcast feed as being a certain type of content, music, audiobook, film, video. Is it appropriate to put a different medium tag of like drama or audio drama? Because it sort of stands as its own thing. It's not a book and it's not a podcast.
Is there a way that chapters and other namespace features can be presented differently that would create a different experience for an audio drama?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I guess my question always has been, as you guys have evolved podcasting 2.0, is, well, what does tags, what is the purpose of tags, honestly? Because I'm kind of trying to put it into my head. Is tag like a search kind of thing?
No, I'm sorry. So when we say tags, that means it's one of the features that podcasting 2.0 has added. So chapters. So that's a chapters tag. And that just means it's just kind of a play. this is interesting. Dave, take note. Yeah. Take note of this. So that's when we say that on this show in the boardroom, it's really just the transcript tag. So what we're saying there is, how would transcripts work for you? The value for value, the value block is also a tag. So it's really, when you hear that out of our mouths, it just means feature.
Okay, so yeah, live so item tag.
In the XML. It's in the XML of the RSS. There is a there's literally a piece of code in the XML feed that's called transcript, and it references where the transcript file is so that the podcast app sees that and knows, oh, this podcast has a transcript, and it'll know to go get it. And every, so you could, like, the medium tag would also live inside of your Buzzsprout feed. And you could say medium audio drama. And because, and when the app like Podverse or Castomatic or Fountain sees that, that tag in the XML, in the feed file, it knows, oh, this is an audio drama. This is not a normal podcast. This is music, or this is a drama, or this is a video, or whatever.
So it helps the hosting service kind of curate.
No,
the it's not really for the listener.
No, no, the no. It helps the app understand what content the this is a very good conversation. What
it is,
what content the creator has made available. So when you use Buzzsprout, an app, so the Apple app will go, but you get an app like Fountain, it'll say, oh, okay, there's a value block, there's got transcript, it's got chapters. Okay, I know how to display all that. Here it is. So it's really part of you. So when you publish, if you publish chapters, you know, that's you pushing that out. Same with all the other pieces, even, you know, a location tag or a person tag. All of that is your content that you're creating at the hosting level, and the apps are the ones that receive it. And so what I'm trying to figure out is if you have a type of content that, so we already are talking about music. So so you would have, you use all the same things that you would on Buzzsprout even, except instead of show title, that would be track title. Instead of season, it would be album title. And but because you put the medium tag in there, which means, hey, this feed is music, then the app knows, oh, I want to treat this more like a music player. So that's a very defined example. But when we're talking about enhanced video or audio projects, in that case, you may want the transcript to be more visible or not visible. You may want to have characters pop up and maybe not go away from the screen. I don't know. I mean, I'm just shooting from the hip. It's so open and so wide open that it just comes down to what shit can we dream up?
Yeah, well, you guys talking about the music thing and whether it should be, you know, findable in a podcasting app or whether it should be its own thing. I was thinking maybe it should be its own thing to for help people to go to one central location to find value for value artist. I talk about podcasting 2.0 in some of my panels, my Q&A panels, because I'm trying to, you know, spread the gospel.
Thank you.
And sometimes the their faces look a little glazed over, but I talk to
I get
them
that a lot, Kyle.
Yeah.
I get that at the dinner table, believe me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But if I say, hey, you listen to this album, you love it, so you didn't buy it, but you're paying a service to stream it like Spotify or whatever. Right, but what if you had an app that did the same thing? It's streaming you the music, but you say, I love that guitar solo. I want to pay that guitarist some money. Then you can do that. Yeah. You sit there and donate directly to the musicians or the band and all together. And same thing with.
Hello?
Nope.
I hit the mute button. Sorry.
I'm like, what? What just happened? Pressing buttons here. I'm like, what did I do? What did I do?
I thought we got EMP'd.
Yeah, the intergalactic boombox ran out of fuel.
There it is.
Crashing from our stationary orbit. But yeah, I'm surprised the record labels in the music industry haven't thought of this. But of course, they don't really think about the musicians.
Oh, Kyle, please. No, you're not. You're not surprised. No.
I'm not surprised. It's like, no, Taylor Swift, we want to find another way for you to make millions.
Oh, man.
Well, that's what, so you can, I mean, coming from the Hollywood side is interesting because you, like, this is, Adam's been saying lately, you know what? I got a clip.
He's got a clip.
Let's do clippage.
All right.
This Now, this is going to be interesting to you, Adam, because this is, I'm just going to, I forgot his name, but I'm just going to call him NPR dude. Being interviewed, Sam interviewed him.
NPR. Oh, NPR. I don't know who the NPR dude is. NPR dude.
Nuzum.
Yes. I know exactly who you're talking about because I heard this reference.
Hit solve everything.
One of my many CEOs that I served with when I was at NPR, his last CEO I served with, his name was Jarl Mohn. He had an amazing career in media, and he used to always have a phrase that he would use that I rolled my eyes at first. And then over the years, I found myself quoting it all the time, which is, nothing solves a problem like a hit. He's like, there are problems with business models. There are problems with relationships. There are problems with the ebbs and flows of business. But if you make a hit, a lot of those problems either go away or the options become much more interesting and you have much more opportunity to figure out what the options can be. And so his saying that implied focus on making hits. And I think that's wise advice that not many people in podcasting are taking right now, because podcasting right now is a hand-to-mouth industry. People are like, I need downloads so I can get advertising, and I just need to shovel as much cash into my mouth as possible. But they're not thinking of, like, very few. I would struggle to think of anyone in the podcast space right now, which is thinking of, like, what do we want to be 3 to 5 years from now? And how do we make decisions today that will put us to be the leader in the space we want to fill in 3 to 5 years? That's the type of thinking that is missing from podcasting right now. For the most part, it's all quarter to quarter. How do we get next year's buys? How do we, even with the subscription things, like, how many people do we get in? People aren't thinking about.
Yeah.
A couple things. First, so this is he left a couple years back, Jarl Mohn. I know him very well. He hired me at MTV, only his name was not Jarl Mohn. And Kyle, you might know him, because he was a big guy in the 80s in Cleveland on the radio, Lee Masters. Do you remember Lee Masters?
I've heard the name.
A real top 40 puker.
Didn't meet him, but I heard
real top 40 puker.
Oh, hey, everybody.
Yeah,
hey.
Lee Masters in Cleveland. Wow, the Eagle. Whatever it was. Yeah, pretty much. I like this a lot because that, of course, was ultimately what MTV ran on. Hits business. Mm. And when I started Pod Show, which turned into Mevio. By the way, what's the ex-anchor guy name who keeps saying RSS is no good, there's no innovation? What was that guy's name?
Oh, Mignano.
Yeah. So he said, oh, no, all podcast, it'll all be video. Dude, been down that road. We did that. And guess what? No. We switched the whole company from audio to primarily video. And no, stick with audio. But this hits-based business is exactly what everybody's doing. That's what Spotify is trying to do. That's what Acast is trying to do to some degree. That's what iHeartRadio is doing. The podcast industrial complex is, in fact, a hits-driven business, and that's all they're looking for. And absolutely right. A hit solves everything. Then everybody's happy. And you see now that after a while, you get a hit like Joe Rogan, which they purchased. Then it's very hard to get another hit. They tried it with the Obamas. It wasn't really hitty. Mm-hmm, it didn't really work. So that's a great clip. I'm glad you brought that.
I think that what confused me is he starts out by saying, you know, well, the hit solves everything. The hits, people aren't thinking about the hits. And I think what he was saying is, at first at least, was, you need to think 3 to 5 years down the line. And then, you need to think about your hits.
But we need a hit right away.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, that doesn't work. That's not the way that works.
But then he says,
nobody's thinking 3 to 5 years in the future. I'm like, well, clearly, I mean, podcasting 2.0, that's all we do is think about 3 to 5 years in the future. But I think that, Todd Cochran said recently, and I'm going to give him a lot of credit for this every time I can, is he said, I've been thinking for the last, 10 years about building for the 97%. And he said, now I realize I need to build for the 3% because that's a forward looking longer time.
There you go. I'm glad you brought this up because there's something that I've been thinking about and working on, and it comes on the heels of our conversation about dynamic ad insertion on the last board meeting. Mm-hmm. And you know, we were saying, hey, is this a success? I mean, is it working? And so I've learned a couple things. So you have, just for people, so you know, if you take advertising, then you're going to be working with CPM, which is a very odd word. I don't know why they still use the M. It stands for cost per mille, which is French for thousand. I don't know why they still keep that in there. So it's cost per thousand. So that means for every 1,000, in this case, downloads, I believe that's still the metric in advertised podcast industrial complex, you get a number. So the more thousands you have, the more CPMs, you basically multiply that by the CPM dollar amount, and that's what you'll get. Or you'll get probably 60% of that, 70 maybe. Mm-hmm. So there was this number floating around $23-$24, which I've been hearing for a long time. Now, it turns out, and I've been listening to all, I listened to Podland, I listened to New Media Show, I listened to, Brian Barletta? What's that?
Sounds Profitable.
Sounds Profitable. I'm sorry, I traveled a lot today. And so that's for host reads. And the host reads, it seems like this, people are trying to transition because brands are becoming a bit wary about the host read. It's great with a superstar celebrity. Even then, it can get a little complicated. They love anything that comes from a radio company because they know the radio company has to adhere to FCC rules. And so they're not too worried about brand safety. And so now we have the dynamically inserted advertising, which I'm not sure if what I'm hearing is, Microsoft seems to be buying a lot of that. And then it's like, well, really, it's just all very kind of minor advertisers. It's still kind of direct response. The CPM for that is significantly lower. That's more. And I heard Todd Cochran say between $10 and $15. And I'm thinking that's what they're hoping for. I have a feeling it may be closer to between 5 and 10 right now. I don't know. So
that's for programmatic.
Right. And so the idea is that's so everybody should be able to get programmatic. It's like I should say, hey, I want to flip on some ads. I've got 10,000 downloads a month. That I should be able to get some advertising money. So if you have 10,000 downloads a month, that's 10 CPMs. That's basically $100. Right.
Or 50.
Well, yeah, it could be, or 50. So, and of course, that means that your inventory was sold out. That means that if you have one ad. If you can have four ads, I guess you can have a mid roll. There's different prices for that. I mean, it's very convoluted. It's got a lot of different options here. So you have to make all those choices. But the problem with the advertising community is they want to know, okay, I want to advertise on stuff, but nothing can be firearms related. You know, it's not like people are talking about killing anybody, but even if they're just talking about cool guns, we don't want to advertise on that. You can think of multiple scenarios. So, yeah. And this is what I was hearing across the board, these podcast brand safety tools that are in essence going to create a code for your podcast. You will be labeled. I heard it over and over again, even though Todd Cochran says he won't do it. I believe it. And it'll be, green if it's good to go, yellow if there's sometimes some iffy stuff, or red if, never touch. So this is the antithesis of what podcasting 2.0 is. But I'm trying to figure out a way to bring a comparison into the money part. And I think I have it. I did some work. And I did a lot of number crunching. And this is why I'm very excited about the OP3.dev. Is that OP3? Yeah, OP3.dev. Because now I can get a much more concise handle on my VPM. This is the new metric I'm launching.
I knew this was coming, by the way. You did not tell me this, but I can read your brain.
You felt it coming,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, this is tremor in the force, yes.
This is the value per meal, the value per thousand. but it gets really fun when you do it. So if you take, the metric is 4% of your downloads That is the amount of people who are boosting you or sending you value. Whatever you get, you can safely assume that's the average is 4%. So I did some work across all shows. I don't have all the numbers. I do have some very concise numbers. I can tell you across the kind of with some very solid data and some other data that I'm guessing about, but I think OP3.dev will help. My VPM across my podcast universe is $30.51. And the numbers, so I would say it's safe to say around $25, so close to a host read. But what's interesting is so the VPM is not set by an advertiser. The VPM is a metric. So when you start off and you have only 1,000 people or maybe 100, your VPM, depending on how well you ask, is actually going to be much higher. It's kind of cool how you start off when you just start off with value for value, your VPM is incredibly high. And the more people you get, that starts to lower off, to taper off a bit, but yet your revenue goes up. The whole thing is once you do the numbers and you sit down, and it works out every single time. The number of downloads times 4%, that's your VPM. And it should be around $30. That's what you'll be able to get. So if you have 10,000 people, so what's 4% of that?
10,000 people is 400 people.
400. And then you multiply by, let's just make it easy, 30. So now you're at 1,200. Did I say that right? No, 12,000. No, now I'm confusing myself. It's 40. It's got to be 40. It's got to be 40. It can't be. Is it 400?
Math corner. Let's see.
I'm sorry.
Calculators.
I see. Yeah. No, I see what I did. This is why I discussed this on the show.
Okay.
This 30. Yeah. Okay. This is where everything falls apart. I still like the branding. my 30 VPM is really runs if you do apples to apples for here's how I did the full calculation. And then you tell me if we can work this back.
Okay.
I said, all right, if you do a show weekly and you have four ad slots.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you come up with a number at your 24. That's actually a pretty decent number. You're making some really good money. The 4% of the downloads, that turns out to be an annual amount or a monthly amount. So it's the monthly versus the monthly. But once you put it on the annual scale, it's predictable how you're going to grow and how it's going to work. What I need to do is I need to get all the OP3 data for this show so we can show it to people because, you know, we can gladly show you what we're making because we thank everybody with the dollar amounts. You will see that you're so much more profitable even at a very, very low audience. Really, with 100 or 500 people, you're already making much more than you could with advertising, certainly with ad insertion.
We should do that in software,
yes, yeah.
To where it shows a dashboard. We can have a dashboard.
Hello.
Yay,
go dashboard. Podcasting! Dashboard!
Yeah, just like the Bloomberg lady, we can have a dashboard and it shows, instead of brand safety, it just shows the VPN, the running VPM.
I'm telling you.
Now, because now that we have, we've gone off the rails, Kyle, I'm sorry. Now that we have the OP3 and you marry that to the value for value. Yes.
Yeah. Then you can calculate
data coming in. You can just calculate on the fly.
Yeah.
Because we have all the boostergrams and all the streams.
Spurlock. This is an Umbral app.
Yes. No. Don't do that. Don't get in that. You have all the boostergrams and streams that are stamped with the podcast episode data, so you know exactly which episode was donated to.
Yep.
You can marry that up with the OP3 data, and you can calculate on the fly. You have a running calculation of your VPM. I love it.
And it will be something that's useful, because you can then, I mean, goodness, this the Get Albi Saturn stats, now that that's populated, holy cow. Have you been looking at it, Dave?
Well, I've been looking at it with my head in shame, because it makes Helipad look like a chump.
Well, just on the, Helipad has, Helipad's export.
You know, you're trying to make me feel better now.
I am, but it's true. Because I thought about this, because you said Helipad's a piece of shit compared to this. You already mentioned that. No, because Helipad, first of all, is real time as it comes in. Get Albi is, it's calculating, it's buffered, it's cached. It takes a while for stuff to come in. Helipad is a real-time live experience. Helipad has cool sound effects. Helipad has really good confetti that doesn't ruin your browser after 3 hours like Get Albi, because they have confetti, but it jams your browser. It's a memory leak.
The fact that you're trying to make me feel better about this
makes you feel good.
I love you.
I love you too. Most importantly, you have an export to Excel. So that is fantastic.
Oh, well, I'm just going to claim superiority now.
You should.
It's clearly a better product.
But what I like with Get Albi is that, and it's something that we've discussed, I think, from maybe episode 10, maybe even lower than that. We talked about this idea of a timeline so you can see the streaming sats. This is really informative. It's really good. It's very interesting to see where people, I think, in some cases, jump into the show or jump ahead. This is, of course, don't know exactly what's going on, but it's phenomenal. It really is. And at very mysterious moments or counterintuitive to what you'd think, it's good stuff.
Well, the best thing about the OP3, I'm not going to boil anything down. That's douchey. One of the great things about OP3 is that he baked in ULID support from day one. So the ULID, if we can get all the podcasting 2.0 apps supporting ULID, that takes it from, now you're not just talking about downloads. Now you're talking about something very, very close to actual listens.
Right.
Because the ULID,
Oh, you can match that. Oh, you can match that too. Oh,
yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And you can filter it down and say, okay, I just want to see unique ULIDs for this episode, because the way the ULID works is when my app downloads an episode, downloads the enclosure, it generates a random GUID string and attaches that as a URL parameter every time that it downloads or streams the episode. So that means that And in the future, if it ever re-downloads that episode, it will attach the same ULID.
Nice.
So you can say, if you just filter ULIDs, you can say, okay, every ULID for this episode was a unique listener. And that's the thing that the stats industry does not want. They don't want listens to show up. They want downloads.
Of course.
Because the download numbers are way higher than the listen numbers.
Yes, sir. And we're not out to crush the advertising industry at all. But don't get me wrong. I hope everyone's incredibly successful. There's definitely a place for advertising.
But I think we'd be lying if we didn't say we wanted to be a little more honest.
Well, I'm just interested in the real data. I'm just interested in the truth. Yeah. How about that? Yeah. Okay. We're not trying to be more honest. We're interested in the truth.
Yeah, for real. I mean, like, so, Kyle, do you have any idea what we're talking about?
Let's see.
Something else. He was chatting with.
Yeah, I was trying to catch you off guard. I was sneaking up from behind.
You did. He was muted and he was leaning back.
Yeah, he was smoking a cigar.
Yeah, this is a trigger very sensitive mouse here. It's like I click it once and it mutes me again.
The reason I brought this whole thing up with the clip and all that kind of stuff was because you coming from Hollywood, podcasting as the podcast industrial complex is trying to become Hollywood, they really want to be Hollywood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, like Adam says, a hits based business, and they want to just recreate, you know, we saw the podcast taxonomy where everybody can get the credits and all these kinds of, they really are trying to recreate, and Podchaser wants to be IMDb. Like they really want this Hollywood thing to happen within podcasting, and they're having award shows.
But they already believe it. They already believe they're there. They just,
yeah,
it's just based on companies that have made no profit.
Right, yeah.
And are now firing their employees because they have no profit.
So, but from your standpoint, Kyle, I mean, like,
yeah,
you seem to sort of escape to podcasting as a way to have some relief from the Hollywood stuff. I mean, like, can you speak to that whole comparison there?
Well, you know, just being a fan of the entertainment industry is something that I just love covering and putting my own spin on with what I do for a living, and to make it, again, a theater of the mind type thing. But I'm noticing that a lot of these conglomerates are very attracted to when celebrities want to do a podcast. You know, okay, maybe it doesn't work for the Obamas, but it works for Smartless with Will Arnett and Jason Bateman and having things like that, and then they suddenly get a deal with Amazon and whatnot, and it's like, well, okay, it's hard not to be kind of cynical about it, going, well, okay, they got an instant following because they've built their whole Hollywood career as on-screen camera people. Now they're working in a podcast, but they happen to be good storytellers, and it makes good content, just like Team Coco with Conan O'Brien and everything, Mark Maron and all that. They happen to make good content because that's what they come from. But it doesn't necessarily always, you know, turn into, you know, big, huge returns on advertising and everything. You know, that's why it's a hard sell for the average Joe or people that are normally anonymous who happen to be working in a big industry like myself, but you know, we're not big famous celebrities. So,
but this
it's
is,
like, if
this
you don't have the numbers,
this is the great news. The numbers game, the hits-based business, it can happily exist. Please go at it. It's perfectly okay. You don't need a homepage of iTunes or number one in the ranker. You don't need that. You need to convince. I mean, again, from the new media show, Todd said, or who was it that said that, like, someone put up a white noise podcast and still had 400 downloads. You know, it's like people will listen to stuff. So if you can convince a couple people to listen and you have that feedback loop, which you know how that works with you as a radio guy, and then with value for value, you can sustain.
Yeah.
You can really do it. My wife and I have the number two sat sprayed podcast this week. we're not on iTunes, we're not on Spotify, we're only in the index. We tweet before we start the show. We've promoted it nowhere else. I don't talk about it on any other, this one I do, and it just grew.
I'm a
58 year old washed up VJ. You know, I hate it when people say, well, you're already famous. No one knows me.
Yeah, but that's this great thing about value for value. You have this great infrastructure, and you know, I wasn't getting a lot of hits and downloads until Fountain started letting people advertise within just on that. It's like, here, we're going to highlight your clip, or we're going to highlight your episode.
Yeah, and they're getting Satoshis for it, right? When they make the clip.
They're
incentivized. There you go.
When you gamify it like that and saying, okay, listen to your podcast on this app, we'll pay you.
Yep.
That's why I think it's easiest to try and onboard people by saying, all right, you don't understand Bitcoin. That's okay. Here, go to fountain.fm, download this app, start listening to your favorite podcast. Okay. Well, now you've accrued X number of sats. Now, how do you want to spend that? Do you want to just take it and pay yourself, or do you want to give it to someone with a value for value enabled podcast?
And nice.
Hopefully that sounds attractive. I mean, it sounds like a great deal, and it's such a different model that maybe people are trying to have are just having a hard time putting their head around that. It's like, oh, so you guys don't have ads? It's like, no, not necessarily. We're trying to.
Yeah. Well, but again, it's the relationship between the podcaster and the audience, the listeners, or as I like to say, producers. That's what it is. So, yeah, for instance, we can with certainty say that YYZ as a colo location is based upon the airport code for Toronto.
And a great Rush song.
Excellent Rush song. Excellent.
There you go. That's how we really know about it. Shall we thank some people?
Yeah, sure.
Let me do some of these live boosts. Oh, here we go.
Oh.
Yeah, let's see.
What just happened?
Well, it's Darren O'Neill. He comes in with 101,010 sats. I have...
No.
We'll give him a little big baller for that.
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blades on the Impala!
I have the perfect face for podcasting, he says. And then, here we go. And please order all of your listeners to tune into Planet Rage this week. Larry Blender and I have a lot of fun and have just hit 50 episodes. So there you go. There's some advertising. There's value for value.
Happy 50.
Happy 50 indeed. Midas, 10,000 sats. And he actually, I was watching the chat. He says that his daughter, Layla, they do the show together, Fun Fact Friday, that she, I'll read it to you verbatim. Layla just realized the skills she has learned from the show, they do the show together, have real world value. She's reading at a college level in seventh grade. All right.
Excellent.
How about that?
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm not reading at a college level and I'm 46.
Exactly. So we did the Booberry. That was actually Gary Arndt who sent us 10,000 sats with the YYZ airport code for Toronto. A 10,000 from Midas, a Carl Sherbert boost.
I don't get the reference. What is that?
Well, see, on my Intergalactic Boombox podcast, I have characters that totally mutilate my name all the time, like Ken Spears.
Oh, right. I see. Right. Oh, I gotcha. Okay. All right,
And we got a row of ducks from Eric PP. 22,222. Another Booberry. 17,776. Goodness gracious. Great boosts of fire, he says. Chad F with 1,000. Harv Hat with 10,101. He says lit in the pod versus when we just kicked it off. 10,033. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the wrong one I'm reading here. Another Chad F, 10,201. And I think that covers the lit boostograms. Thank you all very much. And if you're just listening to this, I think the podcast app that does it best right now, did Podverse get the chat in there? Is that in the new version?
Yeah, it's in there.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to check that out. So Podverse will give you, alerts, opens up with the chat. You can boost right there. CurioCaster is fantastic if you're at the desktop. It has all the bells and whistles. And of course, we'd love for you to return any value that you feel the project is worth. The podcast, the board meeting, that's just our report card to you. All the work is at podcastindex.org, podcastindex.social. And I'm sure we have some more people to thank, Dave.
Oh, we've got some. Let's see. I'll save this rant until after the donations.
Okay.
We have a donation from RSS.com from Ben and Alberto.
Okay.
Would you like to know how much this donation is? This is a PayPal fiat fund coupon donation.
I have my hand on the button.
$1,010.10, which Baller. Is 101010.
Oh, man.
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blades on the Impala!
He says, Adam and Dave, we're glad we connected at Podcast Movement with you and so many others. We look forward to the next time we get together. We're with you in spirit until then. Your friends at RSS.com. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Boost!
So nice. Always there to help. Thank you so much.
And because I know you like it, Ben.
Yeah. Everybody loves your paper crinkle.
A little asthma for you. Thank you, Ben and Alberto. Appreciate it. I missed Alberto in Dallas, but we'll have to see him next time. Thanks, guys. Franco Solario gave us $100.
Nice.
Of Castomatic Development.
Thank you, Franco.
Yeah, no note, but I emailed him and thanked him, and he said he had some really kind words, and he said that's the least he could do. So, thank you, Frank.
Where is he in Italy again? Do you remember where he lives? Is he near Milan?
Oh, man, you know it better than I do because your sister lives there.
No, she lives in Firenze, but we're planning a trip next year. And I was like, maybe I'm going to be in Italy. Sorry?
You and Tina?
Yeah. Who else? Cool. Who else would I go with?
You and your girlfriend?
Thanks, Dave. Don't bust me, bro.
The con groupie?
I think it'd be fun to see if we can hook up with Franco.
Yeah, oh, that'd be great. We got some that's our PayPals. We got some boostergrams. We got Mr. Roy Scheinfeld coming in with 54321.
There he is.
Through the Breeze app. And he says, did you know you can use Breeze to create podcast clips?
Yes, this is new.
Yes.
It's new. He got someone in there. Someone's doing stuff. Because I know Roy isn't doing it. He doesn't really like us. He's just... No, I'm just kidding.
Nobody actually likes us. This is all just smoke and mirrors. Yeah.
Okay. I've been using the Breeze app for a couple of things. I like the Breeze. It's the first thing I check out the show. Any show that I post, I first go to Breeze. I don't know why, but if it works on Breeze, then I know it'll work everywhere else. Are they using Podping? No, they wouldn't use Podping, of course.
No, they're not using Podping.
They
would.
They just take our feed. Yeah.
What I use Breeze for the most is discovery of new value for value podcasts, and I keep up with what's going on with them because I use all the apps. My daily driver is Castomatic, but I use Breeze a few times a week because I try to go in there and see what the trending stuff is, because the value of Breeze to me is that it only shows value enabled podcasts. It does not show anything else.
Yes.
And so you can really drill down and find out what's going on in the value for value world.
Good point. Good point.
Let's see. We got 22.
I forgot 2222 from Lyceum 3 hours ago.
Oh, okay.
I was reminded in the chat. Thank you. It scrolled off, Drev. It went way down. I couldn't find it.
Is anybody in the chat chatting from Podverse? That would be interesting to find out.
Ooh, good question. Yeah, I'm just on a plain old IRC client.
Okay. NA Millennial sent us 5555 and he says, I believe the children are the future. I do too.
So do we, man. Thank you.
Dreb Scott sent us 55555. Thank you, Dreb.
Very nice.
Hope Adam had a great birthday. Boost!
Sure did, man. Boost! Thank you. Chad F. is using the Podverse chat.
Kyle, what's it like hearing your voice on every podcast? Like, I guess you're used to it because you hear your voice all over the place anyway. So.
No, dude, I am totally just honored and everything that, you know, I could... I thought of those clips.
Oh my God, I just had a great idea.
Uh-oh.
We need to market a digital cart machine, jingle machine. So I've got a little panel here, and I've got three 20 different little squares, and number 16, boost. I touch that as boost. When I hit that number 16, every single time I hit it, I want to send you 10 sats.
Oh,
and why not? And why not? Why not? This is beautiful. You build it right in. You build it right into the jingles somehow magically. He said,
"Yeah."
Is it done yet, Dave? Have we developed it? Does it work?
It's a residual.
Yes, it's a residual.
You saw how I almost blew up my Umbral. You want me to blow up your Roadcaster? I don't think so. George Orwell sent us 1111, a row of sticks. And he says, are you guys coming to the Bitcoin conference in Amsterdam? Not I.
No. It's October. I have an invite. We're both invited.
The problem with me is I'm tapped out as far as PTO from my day job. Going to be able to go to stuff like that
anymore. I'm tapped out on travel. I just hate it so much.
Yeah. Let's see. We got 3333 from Gene Everett. And he says, cheers, with a little beer emoji. So he sent us some virtual beers.
Thank you.
SLC sent us 66,667 sats through Fountain.
Nice.
He says, value, he or she says, value for Graphene OS info. I'm on a Galaxy S9 with Android, and I want Google less in my life.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting us listen to you and nerd out. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting! Yeah, it's good stuff, man. It's worth looking into.
Okay, with my perfect Dutch, I'm going to pronounce Knieche.
Knieche, yeah, well done.
Getting better? Okay, 7777 through Fountain, and he says, love the podcast. Cheers, Rene Knieche.
Oh, thank you very much, Renee. Knieche.
Boost.
Knieche. You tricked.
Utrecht. Yeah, very good.
I can't do that.
You're good. Well, I'm going to take you there one day, and we're going to put you in a little Dutch boy wooden shoes and shit. We're going to put you on a bike.
On a bike, yeah, with some tulips.
In your basket on the handlebars.
Oh, that'll be great. Yeah, that'll be wonderful. Thank you. Love the podcast from the Netherlands. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rene. 22222 from Anonymous through Castomatic. Thank you, Anonymous. No note. Acerbic sent us 1,000 sats through Fountain. He says, pew, pew.
Ooh, there's one we haven't done in a while.
22222 from Anonymous through Castomatic. Thank you, Anonymous. 33333 through another one from SLC.
Nice.
Repeat customer says, taking marketing money puts you into an open loop control scheme. WRT, your con... with regards to... Okay. Let me start this over now that I understand what acronyms I'm using. Taking marketing money puts you into an open loop control scheme with regards to your content, consumers, no feedback. The company with the product being advertised gets feedback in sales numbers, not with V4V. Let's feed forward, people.
Ooh, nice. I like that.
I like it. Yeah,
thank
I like
you very
it.
Much.
Don't just stand there. Boost!
Pitar. 880,000 sats.
Wow, nice. I think he gets a baller for that.
Baller.
Oh, yeah.
Shot caller. 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Now, say that number again.
880,000 sats.
Whoa, what's the occasion? Is that like, that's like the biggest boob donation I've ever seen.
It's, it says, oh, this came through CurioCaster. He says, looks like of the 1 mil, only 120K actually was spent. Let's try again for the 880 balance, 880K balance. Once again, no need to read this on the air.
Okay.
I must have missed the first one then.
So I guess there must be one for 120 somewhere where he had his message.
It may have been a live boost, I wonder. I don't know, but I feel like there's a battle going on between Pitar and Dreb Scott.
Yeah, and I endorse this kind of fight. This is a very good fight to have. We're very...
Yes. So, get your channels ready. Fight.
I just want... I saw this come in, actually. I saw it on Helipad because I'm always monitoring on Helipad. It's my favorite app to monitor my boostograms with. Way above. It's true. I was looking at it.
I tried Albi and I hate it.
I force you to use it. I don't recall the 120 going through, which is weird. I don't recall seeing it. Well, and it's not so much about that. I want to read his message. I want to make sure we get his message read.
Well, he said, once again, no need to read it on the air. So he didn't even want the original.
Okay. Well, read. Holy crap. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pitar.
That was, that's.
I fully endorse this battle. Yes.
So we're going to be number one on the leaderboard. On the Fountain leaderboard. Oh, wait, what did he boost with CurioCaster? No, we fall by the wayside. Oh, that Fountain is fake news, man. That's a fake news chart.
Yeah, it's as James would say, it's an incomplete ranker.
An incomplete ranker. Nailed it.
Good one. Pitar, again, with 44,000 sats. And he says, 44,000 failed on the last boost. Here's a final make good.
Wow, okay, I wonder what happened.
There must be an origin boost somewhere that he's now following up on in multiple rounds in order to...
The prequel is coming later.
It's the prequel, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
He went full Super Saiyan mode or whatever that's called. Adam C. 1999. That's you.
Hey, that's me. What did I say? Sats. You don't have to read my test boost.
1,000 sats, man. We got to read it. Mere Mortals Podcast 7718 says,
thank you.
Bill Withers boost. Just the two of us.
Oh, because we were singing? Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, yeah. Oh man. Thanks.
Boost!
A Mere Mortals Podcast return boost 5858. That sounds like a birthday donation is what that sounds like.
It does.
You just need to say that 5858 boost will go directly to Adam to be used to buy cake and candles. Extra birthday boost.
Nice. Thanks. If you don't mind, we'll just throw it all into the node. That's okay with you.
Yeah. James Cridland, 1001 sats through Fountain. And he says, Pod News covers the average cost per thousand for programmatic ads. $23.51 last month, and also how well they work, which is mainly research from the podcast industrial complex.
Thanks, James.
I don't care about any of that other stuff he said. I just appreciate that he used the term industrial complex.
In fact, one time for the one time.
Fire 100.
a dynamite dry Cridlin joke. Very good. You got me.
Yes. Relaxed.
I blew out the microphone even for a minute there.
Relaxed Mail sent us 22222, a mega row of ducks, and he says, playing catch up. Playing catch up and enjoying the discussion, though it goes way over my head. Adam, Dave, thank you for keeping podcasting awesome and showing the world that there is a better way. What was that song? What's that song from the 80s? There's a better way, you and for me and the entire human race. What song was that?
One time for the one time. No idea what song you were singing. Okay. It sounded like a cat in an alley that was very hurt.
There are people dying if you care enough for the living.
We are the world.
Yeah, that's it.
We are the children. Come on, Kyle. We are the ones. Come on, Kyle.
Let's make a better place. Let's start living. Yeah.
That's Cyndi Lauper. There's a place. That was Dionne Warwick. That was Dionne Warwick came in first.
Okay. And then Bob Dylan. Can't forget Bob Dylan.
Let's
make it on live.
Do Bruce. The boss.
Bruce is. Oh man, MTV baby, that's all I can remember.
Oh goodness.
See, the Relaxed Male Podcast helps men get rid of their nice guy in their real life, get rid of the nice guy in their real life and start living life on their terms.
Oh,
head over to relaxedmale.com. That sounds
like men going their own way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Relaxed Male.
Big talk.
Sounds like a barbershop. like one of those boutique male barbershops where that, you know, you get the shoulder massage and all that stuff.
Could be.
Yep. Could be. Sir Doug, 10,000 sats.
Thank you, Doug.
No note. Thank you, Sir Doug.
Thank you.
Jaunty MS, 2222 through Breeze. It says, I'm boosting from Graphene OS.
Nice.
Boost. It works. Gilligan sent us 100,000 sats through Fountain. And he says, happy 100. Better late than never. Boost.
Yo.
Boost.
Steve in Bradenton, Florida is what he says. Thank you, Steve. 1,000 sats from Gene Bean. Castomatic.
Gene Bean.
He says, damn, now I've got to go figure out what happened to podcast movement.
Oh, welcome to the party.
Gene Bean held his button down because he's got about four boosts of the same message there. Okay, he says, Gene Bean again, 5,000 sats. He's for Castomatic. He says, even if this readout's content is driven by anti-TikTok, there are aspects of it that EFF and others have been calling for years. I hope those parts progress and impact our U.S. tech companies. Yeah.
Well, this is playing out right now with EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation. I think this is going back to what I was bitching about TikTok. Well, not bitching, but pointing out that they're taking Silicon Valley's money. And man, they had a TikTok lawyer lady show up in the Senate. being grilled.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. Yeah. About the, so are there any Chinese nationals who have access to the data? It's all such bullshit. It's theater.
Here's my favorite tech press bullcrap is, you know, we just need senators and.
Uh-oh. Dave? Let me see. Are we still streaming?
That's a good question, sir.
Oh, you're still here. Okay, so.
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. Well, that's good. Dave will. Oh, I'm going to have to. He's connected. I'm going to. You know what? It might have been his. I'm going to pause for a second.
Okay.
I froze.
So Dave, your computer crashed?
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun at your expense. and we got something special for you.
Boot! Boot!
At least once every other show this happens. I deserve this.
Some people get a boost. Dave gets a
boot.
What do they sound like together? Hold on.
Boot!
Okay. Oh, man. All right. Where were we?
I don't know. Where did I get cut?
Oh, crap. That's a good question. Hold on a second. Let me look. Yep. All right. You can pick. So now that we know what it
reclaim, is. Wait, I got to give me a moment to reclaim the emotion of that rant that I went on for another 45 seconds after.
And I'm sitting there looking at your dead feet. I'm like, he's still talking.
I was talking like a mofo.
All right. Do you think you can get back into it? Do you need any motivation? Oh, yeah. Kyle, can you give him some? You can coach him through this.
Well, let's see. We're doing a pickup, as we call in voiceover. So Adam, if you could play that one string again, and then Dave, you match the tone and inflection of where it cuts off, and we'll seamlessly Frankenstein that together.
I wish I could, but I'm actually recording on the playback machine. It's just not going to get it. I know.
So I've got to pick it up cold. Yes, this is a cold read.
Cold read.
Okay.
Yeah.
that is essential in voice acting. If you're a good cold reader and improv, yeah, you're off to a great start, sir.
Okay. You want to know what something that bothers the crap out of me?
Oh, please. Yeah, we're very interested.
This just came to me out of the blue. I've not thought of this before, and especially not 3 minutes ago. What drives me crazy is the tech press bullshit of, you know, if we just had more informed politicians... More tech informed politicians. You know, they just don't understand the tech. That's the problem with the bad legislation that gets passed. Is they just don't understand. So if we just had more and well informed, technologically informed politicians, they would pass better laws. You know, everything would be great. That's not how it works, people. If you don't, just because you see legislation that is passed that doesn't make any sense to you and seems counterintuitive, doesn't mean that it's actually ill-informed, but all it means is you don't understand the money flow. Because when laws are proposed, this is something that everybody needs to understand, the concept of a juicer bill. When a law is proposed, it doesn't, or even passed sometimes it's irrelevant what the actual effect of it does. Is in the real world, the only intent of the legislation is to trigger money to flow to one campaign or another. Sometimes that's Amen. All it's about.
Amen.
Yeah, the bullcrap of the comment. I just hear this all the time in the tech press. You know, well, clearly this politician just doesn't understand the technology. They don't care about the technology. No, they care about the money.
And I'll tell you that what I saw Senator Hawley doing, I don't know who's lobbying him, who's paying for his reelection campaign, or so he can be on the committees. You have to pay millions of dollars to get on these committees. We have to pay it into the DNC or the RNC in this case. But he was doing such a performative piece of crap about China and the CCP. And all this is to get rid of TikTok. It's Silicon Valley removing TikTok. That's what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. They're going to remove TikTok because they're taking all their money.
And it's probably because TikTok doesn't have any lobbyists in Washington.
Bingo. Bingo.
And I bet you they will. Give them 2 years. They'll have a whole bunch of them. Yeah. And then those Senate committee hearings, they will suddenly stop.
Magically just disappear.
Okay. Yeah. Sir Twin Screw gave us 40,000 sats and he says, the tax export topic was very informative. Thanks, guys. Oh. Did we talk about tax exports?
Yeah, sure we did.
Maybe that was Intergalactic Boombox. Did you talk about tax exports, Kyle?
I can't say I was, unless I was referencing the Phantom Menace or something. Oh, the taxation. No, I never talked about that.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for the boost. Look at here. 50,000 sats from Todd Cochran.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
It's a boost here. Todd says, talked about this in the latest new media show, but very much against something similar to nutrition labels being applied to podcasts to determine brand safety.
Right. That's what I heard.
I continue to be concerned about podcast listener safety from specific advertisers that sneak their ads through programmatic platforms by purposely misidentifying the content of their ads.
Oh, this is the reverse problem. The reverse problem of dynamically inserted ads is you tag what your product is. And so a show may say, I don't want any casino gambling for whatever reason. I can't get enough of it. But we don't want any casino gambling ads. And if they mislabel and say, well, we're really a Las Vegas tourism ad, but they're a casino gambling ad. And so that shows up on a dynamically inserted ad, and that makes the podcaster unhappy. I know Todd's heart is in the right place. I know that he's doing this for the little people. I know that because I know him. And when I say the little people, that's like us. I really hope it works out. I really do. But all that work will not be for naught. And you're putting 2.0 in, so there's always a backup plan.
Yeah. The escape hatch, the value for value escape hatch.
Yes, exactly. The escape hatch.
Yeah, you pop it.
The escape hatch to the international lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when everything goes bad, you pop the escape hatch and jump out. Example hotel. Yeah, that's what he says. Example hotel that slips in a gambling ad, but only listed as a hotel ad.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, live value for value. Go podcasting.
Ooh. Sorry, I was doing too much.
Go shit. Podcasting!
I'm going to give you a little lightning boost there, Todd.
Thank you, Brother Todd. Lyceum 2222 through Fountain, he says, with valueforvalue.info, you have the ducks in the row. 2222 Satoshi has a symbolic gesture.
He's pre-launching.
No, okay.
Valueforvalue.info. Gigi and I have been working on this, and there's still some stuff to be changed, but take a look at it. Value4value.info.
Yeah, I'm very bullish on this work y'all are doing. Y'all both have a really good way of boiling things down into memorable, pithy phrasing that really helps cut through the fog, you know? No, this is going to be a great site.
And Gigi organized all this stuff and put it into that site. I did none of that work. He did all of that. It's amazing.
Let's see. He says, I mentioned your new site in episode 56, Years of Time, Talent, and Treasure of the Secular Fox Soul podcast. Best premise, Martin Lindeskog. Well, thank you very much, Martin. And 2222 from Macintosh. He says, getting ready to listen to the best podcasting 2.0 show on the net. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
And the Delimiter, comic strip blogger, through Fountain, 15,033 sats. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Please don't hate Ethereum. It soon will overtake Bitcoin volume-wise. Yeah, okay, well, yeah. I use it for cartoon NFTs. Anyways, your audience is kindly invited to listen to our podcast about artificial intelligence called AI.cooking, read by Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from Kent. Just type in your web browser or any podcast app, AI.cooking. Yo.
Boost. And yo back to you. Hold on.
Bombshell.
We have a late-breaking boostagram from Dreb Scott. 555,555 Satoshis.
Impala. Shot caller. 20-inch blades on the Impala.
This is the Petar hit him with the uppercut, and Dreb comes back with the left hook. That's what this is.
Beautiful. That's beautiful, ladies and gentlemen. And then we have Midas, who comes in with 8007. Do you know what that is?
Lopsided boob?
No, it's a boot boost.
Boot! Awesome.
Nice.
And that's hey, so I just had an idea. We have the GitHub repository, the GitHub with all of the Boostagram stuff. There's a lot of stuff in there. All we need is a simple web page player. And when you hit the, no matter who it is, you know, you log in with Albie, do it with Albie. There you go. So you log in with your Albie on that page. And then when you're doing your Boostagram, when you're doing your donation segment, your ask, your Boostagrams, then you just bring up that page. You can do all those boosts. And every single time you hit a boost, it fires off to be determined by you amount of sats from your Albie wallet. I would use that.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot. That, Kyle, you are like the master at weaving in. You know, it's boost related on the fly sound effects through your you know, I mean, out of your voice, not, you know, not out of a out of a machine. Like, do you any of that on the fly? Do you pre-record it? Like, what's your process?
No, because when I'm recording directly into Adobe Audition, and I don't know how to do more than one input other than my mic. I'm sure there's an easy way to it. I've asked some engineers. It's like, well, let me get on Zoom and walk you through that. Because, yeah, if you want to do a soundboard live as you record, yeah, you're going to have to do some patching up. And it's like, oh, God, that sounds convoluted. I want to be able to do that. But, yeah, as it is, I simply stick in the pre-recorded stuff as I'm layering in post.
Okay, gotcha. We got some monthlies.
Okay.
Tim Hudgens, my buddy, $25. Terry Keller, $5. Soren Hilger Mueller, $5. Chris Cowan, $5. Jeremy Kavanaugh, $10. Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. Derek J. Visker, $21. Damon Kasajak, $15. David Norman of Hypercatcher, $25. Paul Saltzman, $22.22.
Thank you, Paul.
Jeremy Gerds, $5, and Thomas Sullivan Jr., $5.
Nice. Thank you all very much to these boosters, these monthlies, the Fiat Fund coupon gifters. We appreciate it all. This keeps Podcasting 2.0 on the rails and moving forward. What was that thing? Fast forward? No, what was it? We just had that cool phrase.
Oh, feed forward?
Feed forward? Is it feed forward? Yeah.
No, that's not right. No. I lost my IRC, so I can't go back.
Because
I got the boot. I got the boot.
Boot!
Maybe someone will remind me. You can go to podcastindex.org down at the bottom. You'll see a red donate button if you want to send it through Fiat Fund coupons. That'll be through PayPal. Of course, get one of those modern podcast apps at newpodcastapps.com. Throw the legacy out. Start feed forward. That's what it was. Feed forward.
Feed forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Throw the legacy apps out. Just give it a shot. I think you will like it. There's a lot of fun to be had. Okay. Where are we at now? Holy crap. So they've told me if I don't show up in like 10 minutes, then there's going to be no more dinner for 80 miles.
Oh, okay. Well, you need to go. Go.
I have a feeling these guys don't mess around here in Georgia.
Go negotiate the new Beefcoin blockchain.
Hey, I'm telling you, this is a great idea. The beef, I bet you it exists.
$10.
I bet you Beefcoin. I bet you it exists. Beefcoin. Let's take a look right now. Hold on.
It's got to exist. It's got to.
But it is if this is a shitcoin, I'm going to buy some just to have it.
Beefcoin, a cryptocurrency for production of meat from the farm to the table.
There you go.
Yeah, it exists. Yeah, of course it does.
Of course. Yeah.
The Beefcoin project wants to eliminate the intensive technologies used in beef farming. Whatever. It's probably like a DAO or something. There's some crap like that.
Kyle, brother, we really appreciate you coming on. You shared a lot of very different stuff. It was really good to hear to kind of walk you through a couple of concepts that we talk about on the show.
Man.
It really helped us understand that we have to be careful because we're just not understood. We use terms that, terms that mean something else in humanoid language, I guess. So that was it's very much appreciated. You came out. And thank you for supporting Podcasting 2.0 with really with your time and talent. That's, you can't do much better than that. I mean, really, really fantastic. We love it. And the boost.
Thank you.
You are the
Thank
boost.
You.
The boost man.
The boost. Boot. All that stuff. Dude, it has been such an honor to get to speak with you and be on your show. Adam, you obviously started a whole genre of entertainment, and it's amazing. And Dave, you're the Pod Sage. You have been so cool and amazing, and the dynamic between you guys and leading the team. It's awesome. It's thank you so much for having me.
I want you to say this. Love your work, man.
Yeah. Love your work, man.
That was so sincere. Beautiful.
I almost believed it.
Well, I got to work on my voice acting after 22 years, man. I'll take some more classes.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Dave,
thanks,
you good?
Cal.
You good?
I'm good.
All right. Well, have a great weekend, everybody. And as long as there's no banjos, we'll be back for another board meeting next week. Same time, same place. Check us out, Podcasting 2.0. See you then, everybody. Bye-bye. Go Podcasting!
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Boot!